Join me in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. As I worked on this text through the week, many times I would comment, and Judy would hear, it's a very difficult passage. Giving some wisdom to this, I have decided to take it in two parts. And so I will be reading this morning from chapter 3 of 1 Peter, from verse 8 through verse 17, and not take the remaining portion of that of this text until next week, because it is a very difficult portion that will take a lot of peripheral work to explain, and I'm just not up to that today. So, hear the word of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. All of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, then for doing evil. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. I entitled the sermon, "To This You Were Called." And you'll see there in verse 9, the latter portion of verse 9, this is taken directly from the text. To this you were called. And so we ask the question, to what have we been called? We find it in verse 8. And then also in verse 10, he gives several characteristics of the Christian. First of all, we should have a unity of mind. Paul writes that we are to be of one faith, one baptism. He is saying much the same thing that Peter is saying here, except Peter gives it the word of mind, have unity of mind, meaning we should be unified in our thinking. We should be unified in our thinking as in the direction to which we go. I think we here at New Sterling make that very clear. I hear it in your prayers. I hear it in your work. I hear it as the choir practices, sings, etc. And it is to do all things for the glory of God. To do all things for the glory of Christ. Unity of mind. Just think if we were disunified in our thinking. The factions, the divisions, etc., etc., would be a place where Satan would find a foothold. So we must be united in our thinking. To this we have been called. Sympathy. We are to be sympathetic with all those around us. As I said, there's many in this congregation who are suffering. 2017 is going to be a challenging year. 2016 has been, as Tim has given in his prayer. And we are to be sympathetic, giving love and care to those who are in need. Sympathetic to those who do not know Christ. Sympathetic to those who may be struggling in the faith. Sympathetic to those who may be struggling with life's endeavors, life's challenges, life's choices. We should also be unified in the care and the concern for those who need our sympathy. Brotherly love. Did you hear any of that in Tim's prayer just now? Enough said. A tender heart. Tim, I know that you and I have not talked about your prayer, but you've just become, a few minutes ago, the perfect sermon illustration. A tender heart. Any question to where Tim's heart is? Any question to where your heart is? Now, I know we show love differently. Lynn's generation was taught to show love differently than the younger generations. Ladies show love differently than the men might. Although I think I've taught many of you men that a hug is okay. And a kiss is coming. And then Peter here mentions a humble mind. Now this one might be the one that's challenging. We've studied humility a lot. How do we practice humility? How do we show humility? There are many ways, many efforts. We are to think of others better than ourselves. We are to give up all for others, which again is an aspect of sympathy, an aspect of love, is an aspect of being unified in mind. Humility, having a humble mind. Peter goes on to say, do not repay evil for evil. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount came to mind here. Blessed are the peacemakers. If one strikes you on the left cheek, turn to him the other. We are to be those who suffer for doing good. Christianity is a suffering religion. Christianity is a religion that will be reviled by the public. Christianity is a faith today that's being ostracized further and further to the corners of the public market. It won't be too long before the church itself will be, if it's not already in many circles, completely disregarded. But we are to withstand the suffering that that brings and preach and teach the truth. Peter says, for to this you were called. Folks, that's what we're called to do. He goes on to say, whoever desires to love life, to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Again, this is the what to what we've been called to do. Turn away from evil. Do not speak evil of another. Keep our tongue from evil. Keep our acts from deceit. Let him seek peace and pursue it. This is the Christian life. These are the what that we've been called to do. This makes up the characteristics of the Christian life. Okay, now, we ask what and we find our answers. But I also ask why. Why are these things the characteristics of the Christian life? Why? Well, first and foremost, they model the life of Jesus Christ. They model the character of Jesus Christ. They model the person that is Jesus Christ. So when we say we are to be Christ-like, we are to be unified in mind, sympathetic, have brotherly love, a tender heart, a humble mind. We should turn away from evil, do not speak deceit. We are to seek peace and pursue it. That is being Christ-like. But Peter adds another one here. If you have your Bibles, look with me at verse 9 again. It says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. These actions are blessings. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Now, this harkens back to the Old Testament teaching of curses and blessings. The Old Testament is full of them. If you follow the commandments, you will be blessed. You break the commandments, you will be cursed. This is the same teaching. You have these characteristics about you, then you will not only be a blessing to others, but you will be blessed in your life. Folks, these are not only things that should, that we desire to look good to others, of which that will come into play here just in a moment, But if we desire to have the blessings of God in our life, these are the actions, the characteristics that should make up our life. He says in verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer." Our worship can be hindered if these characteristics are not a part of our life. Our prayer life can be hindered if these things are not a part of our life. But there's another reason. Peter writes down in the latter portion of verse 14, "Have no fear of them," those who would cause you trouble. "Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." Let me ask you a question. How many times have you been asked about your faith? How many times have you been asked by someone in the workplace, in school, maybe in your family, "Why are you so faithful, joyful, optimistic? Why do I see such a difference of your life when compared to others?" Have you been asked that question? Or have you not? Peter says, be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks about your hope. But what if no one ever asks? Then I would quickly deduce that the characteristics mentioned here earlier are not a part of your life. Because these things are not only to honor God and to honor Christ so that we would be blessed, but they are also to be the testimony toward others so that they would see Christ in your life. Ask, what's so different about you? And then maybe that would be the thing that the Holy Spirit would use to cause that life to be redeemed. We said something very similar 2 weeks ago when we were talking about wives and husbands. Wives, submit to your husbands, even if he's not a believer, because your witness may be the very thing that God uses to convert him. Husbands, if you have a wife that's not a believer, let them see your good testimony, and maybe that would be the thing that God would use to convert them. The same thing is here saying, that Peter is saying, let someone see Christ in your life, and they ask, what's so different about you? I'm a believer in Christ. Those of you who are going through significant illnesses right now, and I've said this time and time again, those of you who are going through significant illnesses now, we pray for healing. God is a God of healing, and he can heal. But if he should decree that illness continue, then we pray that he gives you the strength to sustain you through that illness, that you give a good testimony. Because when people hear the cancer word, when people hear the terminal illness words, why do we not break down? Why do we not fall into despair? Why do we not just give up and say, Lord, why me? Because we understand that God is in charge of all of this. And he can heal me, or he can give me the strength to sustain me through it. And see, people will ask, why are funerals? Why are funerals the place where many are converted? Following a funeral, the pastor has many opportunities to talk to people, and there are many who are converted. Well, one, it's a very emotional time. But also for the survivors of the one who passed away, if they are believers, the testimony they see in the life, that gets attention. That gets attention. And people ask, why? Judy and I were asked many times after Marley died, "You're continuing ministry? Why are y'all so different?" Why were you so strong in losing a brother, losing a mother, losing a husband? Why were you so? Because we are believers. We are Christians. And we have hope. And we know that life here is to be lived and witnessed to Jesus Christ. That's what Peter's saying here. Live the Christ-like life, and you will be blessed. Live the Christ-like life, and so others might see your good testimony. And that may be the very thing God uses to convert. Folks, all of this brings us to this table. Because this is what Jesus Christ did exactly. When he was standing before Pilate, knowing that that man was going to take his life, even though Pilate denied doing it, but he uttered not a word and went to that cross. Because he knew this life is not all there is. This life is only to be lived in honor of the one who has decreed our living. Salvation is given to us through this table. And so we should, out of just the gratitude of our hearts, live this kind of life, just in simple gratitude. Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. Brothers and sisters, I pray this is you.